Hi, welcome to 45 Not Out. Thanks for coming back to us, it's really appreciated. We're actually on our third episode now, and it's my absolute pleasure to be talking to Naomi Timperley. Those of you based in Manchester will probably know Naomi. She's an absolute guru in the tech industry. She's helped over 250 companies develop. She's an absolute mentor to get companies up and running, a mentor for women in tech and in STEM. And yeah, it's great to have Naomi here. So thank you for taking the time out.
Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. So lots of fingers in lots of pies, but what's your main occupation during the day? You've had a recent change, haven't you?
Yes, I have. So I am now head of growth programs for a fantastic company called Radar. Radar are a law firm. But they're not like a regular law firm. They provide a lot of digital solutions to their clients. So I actually see them as a tech firm, but law is the basis of what they do. The role that I'm going to be doing predominantly is I'm going to be running the Elite Radar Lounge. What that is a scale-up program in conjunction with Elite, which is the London Stock Exchange's scale-up program. And we're going to be working with companies across the north and the Midlands and the southwest to scale up. So it's a fantastic program, which is over the course of 24 months and helps companies. It's a great pleasure to work for Radar. I met Gary Gallen, who is their CEO, about 4 years ago at an event in Manchester when myself and Volker Hirsch launched Tech North Advocates. And Gary is a real visionary. He's got a real entrepreneurial mindset. So has created this incredible law firm who work with lots of different companies, but they have digital solutions for their clients. So it's a perfect recipe and a perfect job for me.
Sounds great, Naomi. But knowing you as I do, and knowing you sort of in Manchester, you've got lots of fingers in lots of pies. That's the day job.
Yes.
It sounds as though you really enjoy it. But you mentioned Tech North Advocates.
Yes.
How long has that been in existence?
So Tech North Advocates was born out of Tech London Advocates. It started about 4 years ago. It's really a group of people who advocate tech in the north, but it's part of something that's global. So globally, there's about 10,500 people who advocate tech in their area. And what it allows us to do is connect anyone who's part of Tech North Advocates to people all over the world in the tech sector. And it's really fantastic to be part of. It was set up by a guy called Russ Shaw, who is the ex-VP of Skype. He's an angel and venture investor and does a number of other things and champions tech in London enormously. So it's really fantastic to be able to bring what he's learned and the advocates that he's brought on board to bring that to the North. I also do a number of other things. So I sit on a couple of boards. I'm the interim chair of an arts organisation called Future Everything, who fuse art with tech and digital to solve problems. And they do lots of really incredible arts installations nationally and internationally. I sit on GMCA's Innovation Board. I'm chair of the Industry Advisory Board of the University of Salford Business School and an honorary industry fellow at the business school as well. And I sit on a couple of CIC boards around digital and education as well.
Blimey. Sounds great, Naomi. And obviously that illustrious career, it won't have happened overnight. I'm not going to ask when you actually launched into work, because obviously age is irrelevant in this podcast, but just how did you actually get, is that what you set out to do when you...
No, it's all by accident. Seriously, it is. So my background previously was I had 7 years career in the travel industry. Then I moved up north and I worked in IT recruitment in the late 90s for about 3 years. Then I worked in travel recruitment. Then I took 4 years out to have my children. And randomly after about within the fourth year, so one of my daughters was 4 by then, and the other one was about 2. I came across an American event website called Baby Loves Disco, which was in 27 cities across America, just purely by chance whilst I was researching party ideas for my daughter. And it sounded amazing. What they did is they went into nightclubs at the weekend in the daytime, childproofed them, and had a DJ who played classic disco. And I thought, God, I've not been out for about 4 years, so it'd be great to have that. And I launched it in London and Manchester in September of 2007. And my life changed pretty much overnight. Before we even launched, we had a 2-page spread in the Saturday Times knowledge supplement. I did Dragon's Den, got off an investment, turned it down, did loads of really cool things. Within 2 years, we were in 9 cities across the UK. After doing that for about 4 years, I started getting involved with women's entrepreneurship and youth entrepreneurship and fell in love with it. So I sold my shares to our Scottish host mum, and I set up a youth enterprise employability company with 2 guys that I met on Twitter, as you do, to bridge the gap between education, employment and enterprise. It was called Enterprise Lab. And that was really just great. We worked nationally and internationally to do that, work with colleges, university schools, individuals, councils. A lot of it was to do with entrepreneurial thinking and ideation, so helping people coming up with ideas. So I sort of started doing design sprints and things like that. And then after about 3 years, came away from that and just been consulting ever since. It's everything is just, I've taken lots of opportunities. I've said yes to lots of things. I do things that scare me every day, and that's probably where I've got to, or how I've got to here.
Yeah, just that one thing, Naomi, about do one thing that scares you every day. Listening to this, there are obviously the high-flying women that are in positions of power and, you know, just sort of carrying on with the career and maybe want a little bit more exposure. But probably there will be the women who are maybe coming back to the world of work after having families, maybe after looking after ill parents, lacking in confidence and that kind of thing. If you were to give that, say that woman was in front of you now, sort of severely lacking in confidence, been at home for years, tons of potential, but just really can't sort of put that out there just yet. What would be your one piece of advice?
Surround yourself by positive people. I've met some really fantastic people. I've met some really awful people as well. But I think, you know, just surrounding yourself by people, going to things that you're passionate about, finding what your passion is sometimes. Again, sort of all the things that have happened to me have, I suppose, been in the right place at the right time. But I think I grew more confident. I was always quite confident anyway, but I think I grew more confident after having kids. Because you're suddenly juggling lots of different things. And I think it allowed me to think, you know what, I've created 2 human beings. I can do anything. And, you know, I still get nervous. I speak at lots of different things. Even this is terrifying.
Oh, bless you.
I've got the worst imposter syndrome ever. I always think, you know, oh, God. You know, why am I doing this, or I'm crap at that, or whatever. But you just have to I do lots of things, lots of different techniques. But yeah, going back to that first thing, surround yourself by positive people, find like-minded individuals and learn. I continue to learn. I read a lot. I've been on lots of really amazing courses. So just get out there and just start talking to people. You never know who somebody else knows. You never know a conversation, what may come from that.
True. And I suppose really one of the easiest ways, if you're sat at home just thinking, what's my first step going to be, is a bit of outreach on Twitter or...
Yeah, I think for me, social media has been really fantastic. I know there's a lot of stuff saying that it isolates people, but actually I think it makes the world a very small place. I think it depends on how you use it. I sort of engage with people and join in conversations. You know, the 2 guys that I met on Twitter that I set up a company with, that all started from a conversation. We just started talking on Twitter and just kept on talking. We found out that we had lots of things in common, and we both, you know, the three of us all had the same goals. So yeah, I think social media is a good one. It depends on, again, what sort of platform. But just to quickly tell you this story, my mum was on Facebook, and she asked me to show her how to use Twitter. Yeah. This was about 3-4 years ago, and she said, "I want to be a Twitterer." I was like, "All right, mum." And I spent half an hour showing her how to use it. So I did this because I've done lots of training and things like that. So I sort of did a training session on her about how to use Twitter, but in something that I would probably do all day in like half an hour. And it was basically like, find your tribes, find the people that you think that you'd like to talk to. And we started doing that. And she started off very small. Now she's got 3,000 followers on Twitter.
Blimey.
She's done blogs. She's done meetups. She's had like Twitter friends come over from America. Like literally, I came home one Boxing Day, and there was an American lady there who was one of her Twitter mates. And she actually said to me after a year of using it that it had enriched her life.
Yes, sounds like it. Yeah. Would she have ever done that without?
No, not at all.
No.
And the thing is, it's like, it's just finding those tribes of people. And there's lots of different groups of people. You know, again, we've all got different, you know, if you looked at, say, my, the people that I follow on Twitter, there's like tech, a lot of tech digital people, a lot of startup people, inspirational women, my peers, cats. and I've had so many opportunities through Twitter and LinkedIn.
That's a huge tip.
Most of mine have come through that.
Yeah. Because, I mean, the thing is, it's like getting out there and meeting people, but not everybody has the time. And, like, if you have to travel somewhere to sort of be in a city centre like I do, you need to be very sort of conscious that the event that you're going for. Whereas I suppose really what you could do is you could try and find your tribe. And if you make a mistake, it doesn't matter. You sort of, you just...
Maybe. Well, the thing is, if you're going to an event, I always think it's great to sort of find out who's going to the event beforehand and start talking. I find out about events through Twitter and LinkedIn. So if you're sort of talking to those people before you even got this, you feel like you know them when you get there.
Yeah, great tip. Yeah. So come on, ladies, get out there on that Twitter and start following. Right. You've glossed over, you had your children.
Yeah.
Has that, I mean, obviously it changes every woman's life. There's no two ways about it. And well, obviously for the better. So the time when you had your daughters, I mean, you mentioned you've more confident after your children, but has there been any other sort of changes that you've noticed? And even now, sort of the fact that you've got this fantastic career, is a sort of part of you that is more mindful that you've still got responsibilities at home?
Oh, absolutely. I think really one of the reasons why I've you know, come to full-time employment is lots of things. So stability, but also because my kids are older, so they're sort of a little bit more self-sufficient. I worked for myself for years so I could work around the kids.
Yeah.
And you know, people have asked me the question about whether A, being a woman, and B, having kids has been a detriment to anything, and it hasn't, because I've always been confident enough to for it not to be a problem, or to question it if people, I'll call people out if they've got Do you know what I mean? And I get that some people are not confident to say things like that. But for me, you know, I had an opportunity to do a TEDx talk in America in 2016. And my daughter at the time, Elizabeth, who was 11 at the time, she was obsessed with TED Talks. And actually, she came to America and did a TEDx talk with me.
Fantastic. At age 11?
Yep.
Gosh, I would imagine she'll remember that for the rest of her life.
She does. She's a bit cringy at the moment. She's nearly 15 and she's like, oh God, everyone can see it on YouTube. But I keep saying to her, you know, there's not many 11-year-olds that say that they've done a TEDx talk in the States with the mum.
I would imagine when she's ready to look for jobs, doors will open.
Yeah.
Having that behind her. Great. Okay. Now, talking about sort of daughters and children, the world of work. It's a very different animal from when I started my career, and possibly you the same, Naomi. In an ideal world, are there certain sort of factors that you would like to be in the world of work when your daughters sort of launch fully? Say the next 5 to 10 years, what changes, particularly in the tech industry? I mean, I think there's some changes coming through now, and there's a big push to get more women in tech, but have they still got a long way to go?
Yeah. I've done a lot of stuff with around digital skills, and I think certainly when I'm promoting to kids, so I've worked with a lot of young people from all different ages, and certainly one of the programs I worked in was a GM specific one, so Greater Manchester Combined Authority. I've realised that we need to upskill kids and also get children to think about careers in the tech sector, because to be fair, 90% of jobs are going to be in that.
Yes.
Everything's going to be tech. Doesn't matter what you do. Even if you work in Sainsbury's, there's a lot element of tech in there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a couple of key things. And I think the World Economic Forum did a study on the future of work a year or so ago. And one of the key skills is creative problem solving.
Okay.
A couple of other skills that are really important are communication skills, creativity, also things like, you know, you would think if you are like art and design and things like that, there's a place for you in that industry. If you're really good at, I always say to the kids, you know, who here gets told off for talking in class? And you always get like a load of kids put their hands up, and I'm like, well, actually, we need you. Obviously, it's not good to talk in class, you're supposed to be listening, but we need people that are good at communicating. And I think a really key thing is, unfortunately, schools are so restricted. Well, are they restricted? I'm not sure, but they're so focused on results and things like that, that actually they forget that you need to do the soft skills. And I think they're sometimes the things that are going to get young people jobs rather than just the results.
Yeah, absolutely.
The fact that a lot of the big four have taken away their graduate policy speaks volumes. You know, and again, even like I've done a lot of stuff with Salford, you know, even degrees change very quickly. Well, they have to change very quickly to keep up. You know, we're really lucky at Salford University, because I would say they're probably one of the most agile universities that I've come across, because they can change, because they can change courses to fit what the industry requires.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a lot of things that kids need to look at, and you know, it is scary, it is worrying. Do I think that robots are going to take over the world? No, because we still need humans. But I think that schools need to get children ready from a very young age. So
yeah, one of the things I've found, Neil, because I think my two daughters are probably a little bit older than your daughters, they're sort of flown the less now, but one of the things I noticed is I never sort of spoke to them about my work, and they, when they were small, I was sort of starting out in freelancing marketing and working with media companies as well when they were small, and my elder daughter has gone into working in the media.
Oh, wow.
And I never actually sort of, it's just, I think probably what I'm trying to say is, it's like, I don't think sort of mothers sort of realise just what an imprint they put on their children.
Yeah.
So the fact that you've sort of changed direction, sort of coming from being freelance quite fluid and now decided the time's right for you to go back and have like a traditional role, that's such a good imprint to sort of and a message to pass on to particularly girls as well.
But I think though with careers education, you know, a lot of it is, well, I don't think kids realise that people don't just have one job anymore.
Mm.
I think that lots of people have lots of different career paths. So I was like travel recruitment and then tech and you know, I've done bits of marketing and stuff like that. And people have lots of different careers sometimes before they find the thing that they really love.
Yes, that's another thing as well. It's like one of the things I've found with schools, like you said, they're very focused on sort of meeting the KPIs, if you like, sort of the getting the A to C grades, the GC and all the rest of it. And as well with the teachers, a lot of them probably, it's difficult for them to offer career advice because maybe straight from university, they've done the PGCE and straight into teaching.
Yeah.
It probably schools need to sort of look at bringing in some experts who can really advise, and particularly tech, the way it's growing.
Well, they do, you know, they obviously think a lot of the senior schools do have careers advisors, but the problem is that some of the careers advisors haven't done anything other than careers.
Yeah, and maybe not experts in their field, so maybe they bring tech experts, media experts.
Just making sure that the schools engage with the local industry as well.
Yes. Brilliant. It's been lovely to hear all about your journey. Naomi. Thank you for being so honest. But a bit cheesy, but I always love these kind of bits. If you were to go back at the start of your career, what two pieces of advice would you give yourself in hindsight? Sorry to drop you in it.
Let me have a think. It's weird because when I was younger, I wasn't really ambitious at all. And I think one thing I would have said is be a bit more ambitious. And then maybe another thing would be don't be scared.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Do you think that ever leaves you, though? Are you less scared than you used to?
No, I'm less scared than I used to, but in the context of saying do things that scare you. So, you know, I never had the opportunity to do things that I've done now. And I never thought I'd ever work for myself. And I'm not saying it's been easy, because sometimes it hasn't been easy. And I think one thing that I have learned is that I've learned a lot about people. I think when you work for yourself, you learn a lot more about people.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And as well, I think one of the things I've found as well, because I've been freelance about 15 years, it's like you probably come across people and tribes that you would never normally meet.
Yeah,
if you were to
absolutely.
Follow the career work path.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's probably one of the joys, because yeah, you're right, it is. It isn't plain sailing, and probably highs and lows are maybe higher than if you were in a job, but it certainly has its compensations.
Yes, but I'm quite happy that I've got a job now.
Thank you, Naomi.
It's a pleasure.
It's been an absolute pleasure, and thank you for taking the time.
No
wishing
problem.
You well with your new job.
Thank you.
Take care. Thank you. So there you have it. Naomi Timperley explaining in her own words how she'd like to see the working world for women of all ages, not just those 45 plus. Hope you found some inspiration in her interview. I know I certainly did. Thank you to Naomi. She was a dream to talk to. And thank you for listening. The next episode, episode 4, will be published mid-April. However, before then, I'd love any feedback on this or any other of the episodes. And you can do that via the details on the podcast homepage. Thanks again for listening. Have a good few weeks. Take care and stay strong.